From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, July 6th. I'm Brian Moline. St. Louis Bosnians say the nation's World Cup run may be over, but this year has made an indelible impact.
I came here as a 13-year-old, and now I have kids that are U.S. citizens. They've never been around this type of energy, these type of crowds, so it's pretty phenomenal. I think our kids are saying we get it now.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin relays what recent months have meant to a community. That's coming up on The Gateway. The St. Louis Police Department detained over 40 juveniles as of Sunday morning under the new summer curfew. The department said it detained two teenagers Friday night and 41 on Saturday night during the 4th of July weekend. According to police, 11 of the teenagers who violated the curfew Saturday night lived in the city, while the other 30 lived outside St. Louis. This past weekend marked the first time teens were detained under a new summer curfew in St. Louis that lasts through September 8th. The city announced the curfew last week, which goes from 9 p.m. until 6 a.m. each night. It applies to all teenagers 17 and under. It does not apply to teens who are traveling to or from work, places of worship, or a sanctioned event. St. Louis Public Schools would like to reintroduce more neighborhood schools, according to a plan released by the district last week. As St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports, the move would be a major change for the district.
The district is considering sunsetting its magnet schools, which offer specialized curriculum in foreign languages, arts, and sciences. They were put into place by law over 50 years ago to help attract white students and desegregate schools. But Superintendent Meyer Berry says the program has led to more divides in the district's school system. She wants to assign every student in elementary, middle, and high school based on their zip code.
Every school is going to get what they need to be successful and having that sense of pride around every school. So we are thrilled that we are able to go this route.
The district plans to hold its first community feedback session this Wednesday at Vashon High School from 5 to 7 p.m. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Tension between St. Louis and the state-appointed board that runs its police department has persisted due to continued disagreements over funding. Representative Steve Butts is one of the few House Democrats who supported the creation of the board last year. Butts is now running for the 4th District Senate seat. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports he continues to back the board.
In 2025, Missouri lawmakers, led by Republicans, voted to place the police department under state control. Steve Butts, a Holly Hills Democrat, supported the bill. He says there have been greater growing pains than he thought, but believes it's a wait-and-see situation.
As new members come on this board, if they have an expertise in human resources, in budgeting, in criminal justice, just to throw out three things, in accounting, I think we will get there.
Despite the issues, Butts says he does not believe placing the department under a state-appointed board was a mistake. I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Butts made his comments on the Politically Speaking podcast. You can hear more from Butts by going to stlpr.org. Today is the deadline for seniors in St. Charles County to apply for or renew their applications for the city's property tax relief program. County leaders extended the deadline through midnight tonight after a software outage disrupted the online application system last month. The program is available to homeowners who are at least 62 years old as of January 1st and use the home as their primary residence. In-person applications closed last month, but eligible seniors can still submit applications through the end of today. St. Louis County also extended its deadline for seniors to take advantage of the tax freeze. Those seniors can apply through July 10th. The city of Collinsville has accounted for roughly half the money needed to renovate its water treatment plant to remove forever chemicals known as PFAS. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, the Metro East suburb is expected to vote at its next city council meeting on an engineering contract to start that work.
Tests last summer confirmed the city had higher levels of PFAS in its tap water than what the federal government allows. So far, Collinsville has found 5.7 million of the more than 11 million needed. That's from a combination of federal and state funds and a legal settlement. City manager Derek Jackson says the engineering firm would make a final determination on how to remove PFAS.
The purpose here is to determine, you know, what's going to be the most efficient path to treat PFAS, but then, you know, considering long-term operational costs too.
If the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency signs off on the plans, construction could begin by 2028 and be complete by summer 2029. Until then, Collinsville officials recommend residents continue individually filtering any water they cook with or drink. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new report suggests the arts are a strong economic driver in Illinois. The first-of-its-kind data set found that for every dollar invested, the arts generate nearly double that in revenue. That's almost $150 billion per year. Illinois Arts Council Board Chair Nora Daly says, despite its impact, the industry isn't always considered in investment talks.
The fact that we're larger than many of the sectors that people are constantly talking about investing in, I think this really provides us that leverage and opportunity to be at the table.
The report found the creative economy accounts for more than 12% of employment statewide, exceeding insurance and transportation in economic impact. The Bosnia and Herzegovina men's soccer team went further in the FIFA World Cup this year than it ever had before the U.S. knocked them out last week. For many in St. Louis's large Bosnian community, all the hubbub has resulted in a deepened sense of connection that they hope will endure far beyond the end of the soccer tournament. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
As hundreds of people pack into and overflow out of Bevo Cafe Lounge in South St. Louis, the soccer match between the U.S. and Bosnia is obviously the main event. But for many St. Louisans whose families fled their country after Serbs started killing Bosnians in the 1990s, just seeing the national soccer team on the world stage is a victory that goes beyond sports.
People tried to erase us. This means a lot for our community. It's coming together. It's celebrating with each other. It's celebrating the fact that we weren't erased.
That's Layla Soba. She was born in the U.S. after her parents came over from Bosnia. She enjoys hearing from people who previously couldn't find the country on a map, but now ask her questions about its culture.
People are learning everything about our country. I'm telling my friends about our country. They didn't know even that Bosnia existed until now. It's nice to see.
It was 1997 when Admir Brakic arrived in the U.S. He's always known St. Louis has one of the largest Bosnian populations in the world. But he says it took things like World Cup watch parties to really understand what that meant.
You know, I know that there's so many of us, but until I see something like this, I just can't actually visualize it. I've always loved my country and my community, but this just makes it feel even so much more special than even that.
His wife, Darby Brakic, was raised in the American South before marrying into the St. Louis Bosnian community 15 years ago. The exhibition match at Energizer Park last month between Bosnia and Panama was the first time either of them had been around so many Bosnians.
When you're at the Panama game and the national anthem starts playing, like, it was just like straight tears all around. Oh my God, it was magic on a level I can't express. Like, my American brain could have never comprehended it, and I'm so lucky to be around it and a part of it.
The World Cup run may have made the biggest impact on the youngest members of the community. Melissa Kusura says Bosnian-American kids have discovered a new connection to their past.
You know, I came here as a 13-year-old, and now I have kids that are U.S. citizens. They've never been around this type of energy, these type of crowds, so it's pretty phenomenal. I think our kids are saying we get it now.
Her friend Adina Pasic jumps in. She came to the U.S. at 16.
They were born here. They're American, right? Like our kids. But to see them rooting so hard for our country and hear them sing and cheer on and like be so passionate about it, it's like it brings tears to my eyes.
The matchup of U.S. versus Bosnia came about partly by the luck of the draw. But it puts a fine point on a complicated feeling experienced by many immigrants. Pride in your ancestral homeland and commitment to the American community where you've made a life.
Go Bosnia, go U.S. I would not want to lose to any other country but U.S.
That's Adina Pasic again.
I will not be mad if Bosnia does lose because we are a United States citizen. This is our home. So it's a good team to lose to.
Maybe that's why the mood is still pretty upbeat after the U.S. defeats Bosnia. The crowd starts dispersing, and a 60-year-old Bosnian man walks up and puts his arm around me. He pulls me close and leans forward, and he says,
Serbian people kill a lot of people Bosnia. American people, you help Bosnian people. God bless you, America and USA.
As people head out, Gravoy Avenue outside is lined with cars. People honk their horns, wave Bosnian flags. Someone arriving right then wouldn't be able to tell just who won the match. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jonathan All edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Brian Moline, in for Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.